Lord Jesus, for you to move in this place, Lord, to move in our lives, to move in our families, to touch us, oh God, to move in such a way, Lord God, that we will be blessed, oh God, that there will be deliverance, that there will be salvation. Some need healing tonight, oh God, some need comfort. Father, we just come before your throne and we ask you to fill our hearts right now with faith, hallelujah, that we will put our trust in you, hallelujah, that we'll put our faith in you. God, we just thank you for all that you're doing. Lord, just fill this atmosphere tonight, Lord God, that your word may go forth unhindered, that it will bless, that it will edify, that it will lift up. We just thank you and we bless your holy name for all that you're doing, hallelujah. We come against doubt and fear and every plot of the enemy, and we submit ourselves to you. We ask for your covering tonight, for your blessing and for your favor, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful for God's grace and his mercy. Amen. There is a new calendar, or an updated calendar, so make sure you check it. And we do have some things coming up, but we'll talk some more about that later. Well, our theme for Tuesday night tonight is going to be on meditation, which kind of touches what I've been saying before about what we think about and how we can learn to walk in the Spirit. Amen? So we're going to look at meditation, because I think this is a very powerful thing that we don't do enough of. And there are two ways you can look at meditation, because meditation is all about the Word of God. And the Word of God comes in two forms. It's either the spoken word or the written word, and that's what I've got up here, the rhema, which is the utterance or the spoken word, and the graphe, that's where we get the word graphics from the written word. And then next week we're going to be looking at meditation part two, and that's going to be about the transformed mind. I don't know if we'll do parts three and four, but we're definitely going to be doing this first part. And of course, the key scripture, one of the key scriptures when you think about meditation, is Psalms 119 and verse 11. It says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." That's what God tells us, is the more we put the word in our heart, in our mind, in our thoughts, that's what's going to keep us. That's all about walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Whatever we mind, that's what I said in Sunday school on Sunday, that when we have a transformed mind, what it means is our thoughts are more upon the Word of God and what God wants of us, what he is looking for us to be able to focus upon. So this is the key scripture when it comes to meditation. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And we're going to look at how do we hide the word of God in our heart. Is it just reading the Bible? Well, I think that's part of it, but there's a lot more to it. Amen. Because David knew the secret. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So we're going to look at hiding the word. And as I said, the word comes in many forms. Amen. You can have a dream that God gives you. You can have a vision. You can read the Bible. Many times most of us, or a lot of us, say, "Lord, why don't you speak to me?" And yet he is speaking to us. He's given us over 3 million words in the Bible that already speaks to us. But we don't want to hear truly what the word is saying, because it doesn't fit our conception. It doesn't fit our desires. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at forms of the word. Well, as I said, the rhema in the Greek means the spoken word or an utterance. When God said, "Let there be," that was a spoken word. And of course, before you speak, you have to think. At least that's what we say. A lot of people speak and then they think and they go, "Oops, didn't mean to say that." But God is not like that. The Bible speaks about Jesus in John 1, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word." And that translation of word means word when it's a thought, when it's not yet spoken, when it's still inside your mind. And so we're going to look at the logos, or the word as a thought. And when you think about that, a thought is really like a complete sentence, right? When you have a thought, it's not just one word. You're thinking about a whole sentence. So when we say the logos, or the thought, we're really speaking about a complete set of words. When we just say the spoken word, it's just one utterance, maybe. It can be just a word. But when the concept of the logos or a thought, you don't think about just one word. You think about a whole concept. So I hope you're following the distinction between an utterance and a thought. When you think about a thought, you're thinking about a complete picture. So it involves more than one word. So you could put that in the form of a sentence. And then there's another kind of Greek that is used for the word, and that's onoma. And that is when you're thinking about a name. A name. So anything that has a name or a noun, that's also a word, but it's the name of something. So let's look at that. And then, of course, what I spoke before, the written word, which in the Greek is the graphe, which is where we get the word graphical from, because it's something you can look at. So it's the written word or scripture. So let me just go over those again as forms of the word, because remember the scripture says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart." And so I'm going over the types of word that the Bible speaks about. So when we speak about the rhema, it's an utterance. We can say Jesus, that's an utterance. But when we think about a thought, it's more of a sentence. And when we think about a name or the onoma, it's just like a complete word that names something. And then, of course, we have the whole scriptures or the Bible, which is the written word. And then the Bible speaks in Luke 8 about the seed, which is the planted word. And this is where it starts to get interesting, because for something to grow, you have to plant it. The Bible says that we are quickened if we are buried with him. So the word has to be planted in you to really bring forth a harvest. Amen? Anyone remember the title of the message Sunday? Let me see how much the word was planted. The missing thing. Okay, all right. So some of you remembered it. Amen. Can anyone remember the title of the message the week before that Chris preached? No, that was the week before that. Holiness becomes the house. Holiness. See, what I'm talking about is how deep have you planted the word? Do you only listen to it on Sundays? Or do you actually meditate upon it during the week? This is what I'm trying to tell you. It's great on Sundays to leave here rejoicing and having feeling that you've been fed. But really what you need to do is to take that word now and plant it so that you bring it back up and you start to think about it during the week, because that is what I'm talking about by the planted word. Amen. Let's look at a little bit more deeper. In Psalms 119, verse 130, it says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." Think about that. The entrance. When we start to get into the word, it's going to start to shine light upon our path. It's going to, if we start to meditate upon it, it will actually start to open up things to us. That's what the scripture says. It giveth understanding unto the simple. It giveth understanding to the simple. When Peter and the apostles were brought before the Sanhedrin and they heard them speak, they were amazed, because they said, "Aren't these just some ignorant fishermen?" But you know what? They had been with the word. They had been absorbing the word that came from Jesus. So the scripture says here, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Amen. 2 Peter 1:10 says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fail." We wonder sometimes why we are weak. It's because, spiritually weak, is because we have not been eating the word. Amen? We should eat the word. I'm going to be showing you how tonight we can eat the word. But we should take the message Sunday, or the Bible study Sunday, or another word that we have received, and start to plant it in our soul, so that we commit it to our mind. They say that you have two types of memory. You have short-term memory and long-term memory. For something to get into long-term memory, you know what you have to do? That's right. You have to be thinking about it over and over again. You have to commit it. And when you bring it back up and start to meditate upon it, then it starts to stay in your memory. There are certain messages that I can remember, and they were preached 20 years ago. They'll come back. You know why? I kept on thinking about them. I kept on remembering. There's certain things that certain people said to me that have blessed me, and I remember them. And that's how we get the word into our heart. The more word we get into our heart, then that scripture in Psalms 119 can be fulfilled. Verse 11 says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So the way into the kingdom is by the word. Jesus says, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And he is the living word. So it's not just for Sunday that we rejoice and we have a great time in praise and worship and we get a great message. You should be thinking about it. How can I apply that Monday morning to my life? How can I apply the missing thing to my life? What was that about? What was the missing thing? Faith. Faith. So as you get up Monday morning, Lord, increase my faith. How can I have faith today? I've got some things I'm worrying about. Lord, I'm going to try and put them down and give them to you. When you start to meditate upon the word, that is when you're planting the word deep. Because then Satan can't come and snatch it away and take away your joy. Revelation 2 verse 7 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." How does the Spirit speak? Through the word. Through the written word, through the utterance, through the a vision, through a dream. Let him hear what the Spirit saith. It says, "He that hath an ear." Now, I don't see anyone here today who's not got at least two. So that applies to all of us. But what we do is, as soon as we leave the church, we let the cares of life, we let all our list of things we got to do come in and steal the word. Just as in the parable, and the birds came and took it away. And if someone was to ask us on Tuesday, what was the message on Sunday, a lot of us would sometimes struggle, right? Well, I know I was there. I was there. And if you didn't look in your notes, have a hard time. We have to understand that meditation of the word is one of the powerful ways for walking in the Spirit. Amen? Because it's those that mind the things. And how do you mind it? By thinking about it. By thinking about the word. Chris preached, holiness becomes the house. And that makes me think of the temple. Because the temple was the house of God. And you start to meditate upon that. Holiness becomes the house. I've got to watch what I say. I've got to watch where I go. And when we meditate upon the word, the Bible says the word is a lamp unto my feet. It will guide us. It will help us. It will take us. Amen. Revelation 2:7, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Nearly in every case, when Jesus is speaking to the seven churches, it always says the same thing. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." So we're going to take and break this down, and we're going to start now by the written word. We've talked about the way in is by the word. But now I want to take it and look at each of these four categories in detail. The written word. As I've said many times, we're always saying, "God, I want you to speak to me. Lord, why don't you speak to me?" And every Sunday you come and we read scriptures. And you know what? God is speaking to you. The question is, are you listening? Do you take it as for you? Or are you saying it's for the other person behind me? Oh, that what pastor's speaking is for them. It's not for me. John 7:38 says, "He that believeth on me," and there's a condition, because there's so many people out there, if you were to ask them, they say they believe. But here is the problem. It says, what does it say? "As the scripture hath said." That means for you to get the blessing, for you to get the Spirit, you have to believe as the written word hath said. So people who claim they believe in God, that's fine, but is it according to the graphe word? Is it according to the scripture? Do you understand what that's saying? So, yes, everybody out there, if you ask 100 people, do you believe in God? Are you a Christian? Everybody, maybe 80 people out of 100 are going to say yes. But that's not God's standard. What does he say? "He that believeth on me," and here's the condition, as the written word, as the scripture hath said, then out of his belly or her belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the scripture goes on to speak that what Jesus was speaking about was the Spirit. So you have to believe the written word for you to really evidence the Spirit. Amen? As the scripture hath said. So we can believe a lot of stuff. And there's a lot of fake stuff out there. But does it correspond to the scripture? Because only if you believe as the scripture, the written word hath said, then out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. If you want the rivers of living water, you have to believe as the scripture, as the written word. And that's why God has given us the Bible, so that it's not my opinion, it's not how I interpret it, but the Bible has the salvation message so many times that you'd have to be deliberately trying to get it wrong to get it wrong. For instance, baptism. There are five baptisms in the book of Acts. There are so many scriptures that says you must be baptized. So if someone says, I believe in God, but I don't believe in baptism, you know what that means? They're not really taking the written word, because it's not believing as the graphe or the scripture hath said. Amen? You can't get rid of baptism by tearing out one page, because it's in the Bible so many times, more than once, more than five times just in the book of Acts. Jesus himself said, go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples, baptizing them. We find in the book of Acts that people were commanded to be baptized. Wasn't optional, right? In Acts chapter 10, Peter, when he heard them speak with the Holy Ghost, he said, who can forbid water, since these have been filled such as us? And he commanded that they be baptized. So we see that you have to believe as the scripture has said. Belief as you believe it is not enough. Does your belief align with scripture? If it does, then the Bible promises, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So the graphe word is the rock on which we build all doctrine and teaching. Amen. And then we come to the spoken word or the utterance. And that's what Jesus himself said when Satan came. And that's why some of us get tempted and fail. You know why? We haven't eaten enough of the word. We haven't put the word in us. Because here's what Jesus said. Although he was physically hungry, although he had fasted 40 days, he was able to say this. Listen, man shall not live by bread alone. But how? By every word. And this time in the New Testament, the word that's used is rhema. It's speaking about the spoken word. Amen. The spoken word. When God says, let there be, you know what I've said before. The only answer is? Say it much louder. Okay, if you can believe that, the spoken word, that's what keeps us alive. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And in this case, it's the rhema, the utterance that proceedeth out the mouth of God. Amen. So we see also in John 6:63, Jesus himself said, the word, and this time the translation is rhema, that means the spoken word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. When he said, Lazarus, come forth, he spoke a word, but it was also spirit, because something happened. The man who had been released from the cave, who was bound in grave clothes, started to walk. Can you imagine those people watching that? How terrified they must have been, because they were not expecting it. They thought Jesus was crazy. Don't you understand? This man has been in the grave 4 days. He stinks by now. This crazy guy is saying to open the door. But you understand, when Jesus speaks a word, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. Sister Brownie. Amen. I'll repeat her statement. She said she heard a preacher said, if he didn't say Lazarus, if he had just said come forth, everybody who had ever died would have come forth. And I believe that, because you know who this was? This was the creator of the universe. This was God incarnate. Amen. And as I said, and what you affirmed, when he says let there be, the only answer is, and it is so, and it was so. So Jesus had to say, Lazarus, come forth. or else everybody who ever died would have come forth, and it wasn't the time for that yet. Amen. So the rhema word is the utterance, and that's also what we need. We need to get a word. We need to receive a word. Amen. We need to hear a word, and then we need to meditate upon it. Amen. I've told you this story. When I was eight years old, we were coming home from church, and my mother just turned around and pointed at me and prophesied, and she said, "You are blessed and shall be blessed." That was 50 years ago or more. But I've meditated on that. I have put my faith on that and said, "Lord, I'm receiving that word." Amen. Peter was able to get out the water and walk not on the water, but on the word. It was the utterance from Jesus. He said, "Lord, if you bid me to come, I can get out of this boat." Amen. If Jesus gives you a word, you can walk on the word, not on the water. Jesus said, "Come." One word. That was all. One word from the master. And he got out the boat in a storm and started walking on the water. You know why? Because he was looking unto the Jesus, who is the what? Author and finisher. Now, what does an author do? What does he write? Words. Listen to the scripture again. Jesus is the author. That means he's going to write some words of, what does it say? Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. He is the author. He will write the words. He is going to give you the graphe words. That's the written words. He will also give you the spoken word. He'll say, "Come." And he did. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know what? It's because we don't believe. It did take Peter some faith to step out the boat. I mean, this was a storm. And he was doing good as long as he was looking at Jesus. We'll all do good when we're in church looking at Jesus and worshiping. It's when we get out there and start to look at the storm that we're in and how things look so impossible. And when he took his eye off Jesus, that's when he started to sink. When we take our eye off the giver of life, the one from where the words come, that's when we get in trouble. Let me say it again. One of my favorite verses, John 6:63. The words, the rhema, the utterance that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. If you get a word from God, one word, come. Come, that's all you need. If Jesus said come and you believe it and you're looking at him, remember, the author does what? What does an author do? That's what an author does. He writes words. The scripture says he is the author and the finisher. That means if you let him, he will write a happy ending to your story. You know those fairy tales? How do the fairy tales end? And they all lived. Jesus will be the one to write that ending if you let him. And they all lived happily ever after. Not many fairy tales never ended. They all ended like that. And they all lived happily ever after. Amen. I've looked at the back of the book in Revelation. And that can be our ending. Amen. So when Jesus says, "Let there be," there's only one answer. And it is so. 2 Corinthians 13:1 says, this is the third time. This is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. "I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word," rhema, "be established." So when we get a vision or a dream or someone says they have something, the Bible tells us that it's going to be established with a confirming word. Amen? So when someone comes to me and says, "I have a dream," what it means, I said, "Okay, we don't understand. Let's wait for God to confirm it." We see that in the Old Testament, because when God wanted to give a dream to Pharaoh, he gave it twice. When God wanted to give something to Nebuchadnezzar, he gave it twice. Amen. God will make plain his word to you. Amen. So we have to be ready to listen and to believe and to trust. Amen. But the trouble is, we are not looking at the author. We're looking at the storm. That's what we do. We look at the storm. And that's human nature. I'm guilty of it too. Sometimes we look at the storm and how much trouble is going on, and the wind that's blowing, and how are we going to get out of this, instead of looking at the author, who could just say, "Peace, be still." Amen. So God was able to write a happy ending. And of course, the written word is the next. We just talked about the rhema, the utterance, where that's what Jesus said when the devil came to him, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is spoken. That's the spoken word. The written word we see all through the Old Testament. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, when they had come into the, going into the promised land, just before when they camped over on the other side of Jordan, Joshua read again in the presence of all the people the book of the law that had been written 40 years before. This book of the law shall not depart out of where? Thy mouth. Do you know what they do in Islam, in the Islamic schools, the madrasas? You know what they do all day? You know what they're doing? They're memorizing the complete Quran. All 114 chapters, that's what they do. They memorize the Quran completely. That's what they do for years and years till they can quote it completely. This is what God told Joshua to tell the people. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt do what? Meditate. Meditate therein day and night. Day and night. Oh boy, if we started to meditate on the goodness of God, wow. God, you are so good to me. Look what you've done. Look at how you brought me out of some terrible situations. Lord, I'm thankful for all your goodness. And your, imagine if we got up every morning and we had a love fest with God. You don't have to be kneeling down and to pray. I pray all the time when I start to talk to God, because prayer is just what? Communication with God. Sometimes in my car and I'm just telling God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this 8-year-old car. Thank you, it's got 130,000 miles and it's still running good. Amen. You know, if we just started to meditate upon God's goodness, that's what it says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Day and night. Sometimes I wake up, I have a hard time sleeping, and I wake up about 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, and the bed is empty because my wife is already up in the other room, and she does her little prayer thing. And I'm so grateful. I turn, and there's no one in the bed. I say, thank you, Jesus. I have a wife that's praying for me. Amen. You know, it's not hard to meditate upon the book of the law. That's all it is. It's thanking. If we got into that attitude of thankfulness and gratefulness, we'd have a better walk. We would be starting to walk according to the Spirit, because as I've told you before, the Spirit manifests in the physical as the Word. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way, what does it say? Prosperous. You want to be blessed? Start meditating on the goodness of God. And thou shalt have what? Good success. Some of the miracles God has done for me, I actually can't tell you. Because it's personal, but I know God did it. It was just amazing, 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 amazing. Then thou shalt have, if God is for you, nobody can be against you. Do you know that? It doesn't matter what they say, it doesn't matter how it's going to turn out. It's going to turn out in your favor. It doesn't matter if you've been fishing all night, like Peter and the disciples. When Jesus comes on the scene and he gives you another word, he said, what did he say? Cast the net on the other side. That was the word. That was the word, right? Cast the net on the other side. And they said, but we've been here all night. Nevertheless, nevertheless, what did they say? Nevertheless, at thy word. You may have been seeking a job all year, but nevertheless, at thy word. When we start to be in tune with God, his word will come to us. The Bible says you will hear a voice in your ear saying, this is the way, walk in it. God will tell you which direction to go if you're sensitive to the Spirit, if you are attuned to his voice. Because it says, I'm going to read this again, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You got to chew it. Got to chew it. Name me something that you have to chew before you can swallow it. Huh? Beef. Right. You got to chew it. I mean, if you try taking a whole big steak and swallowing it, it may choke you, right? But to get the goodness out of it, you got to really chew it. Now, when I'm hungry, my wife accuses me of just swallowing. Man, you're not even chewing your food. But it's so good, I got to get it down. But that's what we have to do with the Word. If you don't understand something, meditate upon it. Go look it up. Because it says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So prayer involves speaking to God. Meditation involves listening to God. You listening to what I said? Prayer is when we talk to God. Meditation is when we're listening. Speak to me, God. Tell me which way to go. Amen. I heard the word, and it was, where is the fear? Lord, start to show me to have more reverence for you. Let me meditate upon your word. So prayer involves speaking to God. Meditation involves listening to God. Let's look at our natural man. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Why? Because his thoughts, and that's where it all starts, and every imagination, his faith organ, was twisted. The every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it goes on to say, it grieved God to his heart. That's all men thought about, was all about themselves and evil, and didn't care about other people. And the wickedness of man was so great that it brought the flood. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. It means your thoughts. For out of it are the issues of life. You can think yourself into a real funk. You know that? You start to think about something negative and you just start to meditate upon it. Man, what am I going to do now? Before you know it, you're in such a funk and your face starts to show it. You know? The lips start to go down. The frown starts to come up. And you start to mean mug people. You know, it shows what you've been meditating upon. But if you've been thinking about the goodness of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord and how God is just you can't help but smile. You can't help but be happy. Because whatever's on the inside will start to show on the outside. When you're in a bad mood, it shows. It's very few people can hide that. You know, I used to be able to, but as I've grown older, my control has lapsed. My patience has gone. It starts to come out. Our natural man, this is our natural man. If whatever we think about, that's the Bible says that's what we are. Negative thinking. Let's look at this. Psalms 37 verse 1 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. First of all, you have no control over that person, do you? The only person you have control over, maybe, is yourself. So you have to choose to not let them be, their negativity get into you. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. The Bible says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Don't worry about the person who is being negative, because whatever you sow, what does the Bible say? Reap. So you don't have to do anything. Bible says, vengeance is mine. All you have to do is have your own attitude, your own heart. Keep a check on your thoughts. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. What we have to do is start to think on the goodness of God and his love for us, and how even though the devil has tried to kill us, even though we have been through negative circumstances, it's not that the disciples weren't in a storm. It was a real storm, okay? It was a real storm because they were fishermen. They knew it was a bad storm. They knew they could drown. But Jesus came walking. And at first they thought he was a ghost. The Bible says he would have passed them by. Why would he have passed? You know what? He wanted them to cry out. Sometimes God wants us to acknowledge our need. Verse 3, trust in the Lord, do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land verily and shall be fed. Amen. Let's go on. So even science, I've said, has discovered that negative thinking creates all kinds of poisons in your body. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You understand what I said? When you think negatively, it starts to eat you up. In fact, people have ulcers, right? And they have acid problems because of stress. They have proven that to be true. And the trouble with stress is, stress comes about when you're in a situation where you have no control. So, why stress? You can't change it. Jesus spoke about, or the writer of Hebrews spoke about entering into God's rest. To be truthful, the only true Sabbath keepers should be the children of God. Because the Bible says that we enter into his rest. How do we enter into his rest? By just trusting him. We have ceased, the Bible says, from our own works. That means trying to figure it out. How am I going to do this? Now, it's not easy. But that's what the Bible is speaking about, to just totally trust God. I knew that God had to do something at the end of 4 months. Because that was when I was going to get my last paycheck. And I just trusted that he was going to, and he did it. He did it with no gap, perfectly timed. That's God. Amen. No one will be able to tell me that wasn't God. He did it perfectly, perfectly aligned. Amen. I don't want to say too much. Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So listen to those words. What are you thinking in your heart? What are you thinking? What have you been thinking about today in your heart? Have you been thinking, Lord, you're so good, you're so awesome? Or have you been thinking, worry, 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 fret, trouble, trial, tribulation? For as he thinketh, this is the written word now, bury this one. For as he thinketh, or she thinketh in her heart, his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. What he's saying is we should take words just like food. Right? And whatever we're going to meditate upon, that's what we're going to become. If you meditate upon the joy of the Lord, what does the Bible say about that? It is your strength. So take the opposite of that. If you're not meditating upon the joy of the Lord, then it is your weakness. Amen. Everybody's real quiet. Amen. So meditation is about inward thoughts. Hebrews 12:2. Here's what I quoted before. Looking unto Jesus. This is so profound. Sometimes I get this scripture. Sometimes I can actually feel I'm living in the scripture. Other times I'm looking at myself and thinking, man, I'm hopeless. I'm so far from what you want me to be. But at times I reach out and I say, you know what? No matter how hard I try, I couldn't do it anyway, so I might as well look unto Jesus. This is a scripture to meditate upon. Tomorrow when you get up, looking unto Jesus. How are you going to look unto Jesus tomorrow? What would you concretely think to look unto Jesus? Well, when you look unto your parents, it means you're asking them to do something. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the wordsmith, the writer, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. We all got a cross, but you're not going to have joy unless you can look beyond the cross to the resurrection. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. We have to, Paul says, endure like a good soldier, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, I'm going to give you a practical example of someone in the Old Testament and meditation. Now, I've talked about it. I've talked about the written word. I've talked about the spoken word. I want to show you someone who was blessed and had a life of peace, even though he had things come against him. And that man's name was Isaac. Anyone know what the word, the name Isaac means? Laughter. His name means laughter. Let's look at this. Genesis 24, 62. The story is his mother has just died or died lately. And so you could think that Isaac should be very, very down and melancholy. It says, and Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahai Roi. And I've mentioned that well many times. Anyone know what Lahai Roi means? Living waters. Living waters. So Isaac had been by the well of living waters. You know, if you're by the well of living waters, somehow I don't think you can get too depressed. You can't get too down for too long. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. The Bible says that he went out into a field and was just sitting there thinking. I'm going to make up some stuff now because the Bible doesn't say, but we do know his mother had just died, but we also know that his father had sent someone to go get him a wife. So maybe he was sitting there thinking, I wonder who this lady is going to be like. I wonder who this beautiful woman is going to be like. We don't know. But we do know that the Bible orchestrated a very beautiful symbol. Because this is chapter 24 of Genesis. And I think in chapter 22, just about two chapters before, anyone know what had happened in chapter 22 that had happened to Abraham? That's right. Abraham had taken Isaac, who was not a baby, he was at least 17 or 18, up to the mountain to sacrifice him. Amen. So he took him up to the mountain to sacrifice him. Guess what happens after the sacrifice? We do not hear about Isaac again, though it's assumed he came down. But we never hear about Isaac again after the sacrifice until now. Till he's about to get his wife. You understand the parallel, I should say. Because after Jesus was sacrificed, he's gone, he disappears. Until he comes back to get his wife. But what Jesus did say that, if you believe in me, out of your belly shall flow what? Where was Isaac? He was sitting by the well of living waters. You see how God has set up a symbol here? But he's now waiting for his wife. Now, to show you how wonderful the symbology is, the father, Abraham, sent his chief servant to go to get his bride. Now, anyone know what his chief servant's name was? It's not said in the actual scripture, but later on we do find out his name. Anyone know what his name is? Eliezer, very good. Who said that? All right. Who knows what Eliezer means? Comforter. Do you see that? The father sends the comforter to get the bride. And Isaac is there meditating and wondering when is he going to see his bride. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahai Roi, for he dwelt in the south country, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field. And at eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, behold, the camels were coming. And I don't go into the story, but it was his bride. The parallel is that this man, Isaac, was a person of meditation, and because of that, he was blessed throughout his whole life. I'm going to read on. Now, I want to touch base with David. I'm going to come back to Isaac, but I want to show you about meditation in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles 16:7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, meditate ye all his wondrous works. Okay, so we see that even before he was married, Isaac was a man of meditation. After he was married, there came a great famine in the land. And he was sent to this place called Gerar. Genesis 26, verse 1. And there was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech. And I said the name that way because it means to... What does Ab mean? Abba. Father, right? Melech is Hebrew for king. So this name, Abimelech, really means my father was the king. He's the king now. But you see, it tells us something. It says that the first famine that was in the days of Abraham... So there's a relationship there, because if you remember, this story repeats itself. Abraham went to Abimelech and said that his wife was his sister. And this story repeats, because here comes Isaac, and he's sent to this place, Gerar, unto the son now, whose name means my father was king, unto Gerar. Now the name Gerar, as a noun, means lodging place. But as a verb, it means to chew. You know, when someone says, I'm going to chew on it, what are they doing? In other words, they're meditating. If I say I'm going to chew on it a little bit, it means I'm thinking about it. So Isaac was sent in a time of famine to this place called Gerar, which means, as a description, as a verb, to chew, to meditate. And God in verse 3 says, sojourn in this land, stay in the land, stay in the land of meditation, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And in the notes I've highlighted it from Strong's Concordance that in the Hebrew, as a verb, it means to chew. When you chew upon something, that's what cows do, right? They eat the grass and then they go and they bring it back up and they chew it again. In other words, they're meditating on the grass. They keep chewing it. They put it down into their first stomach. They bring it up. They chew it. They put it into their second stomach. And that's how they digest grass, because it's a very hard thing to digest. And so he was sent to this land of famine. That you got to remember, this was a land of famine. There was a famine in the land. He was sent to the land of Gerar, which means to chew. And God told him, stay there. That doesn't make sense. Lord, you're sending me to the land of famine, and you're telling me I got to stay there? But God always has a plan. And so verse 6, he was obedient, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. In other words, he lodged in the place of chewing or meditation. Now, I've put a map up there. Then Isaac sowed in that land. He decided he was going to plant. It's a land of famine. Nobody's growing anything. Nothing is working out. Then Isaac sowed in the land. And what does it say? And received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him in the land of famine. Everybody else, none of their crops are growing. None of their crops are going. And so, of course, the people get very jealous. Verse 13, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants, that is Abraham, had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistine says, I know how we're going to stop him being blessed. We're going to go and stop up all the wells that Abraham had built and fill them with earth. Now, if you look at the map, I don't know if you can see it. You can see Gerar right on the coast. And then he moved to Esek and he dug another well. And they came and they stopped that one up. And then he moved to Sitna, the second well, and they did the same thing. And of course, you know where the story ends up. He moves to Rehoboth, and he digs another well. And you know the story. They gave up by then because they said, everything we do to this man, because he's in a place of meditation, God blesses him. Of course, and of course, that's where he ended up in Rehoboth. Amen. So we see how meditation can work if you're obedient to God's plan. Even in the New Testament, with Mary, Luke chapter 2, verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said unto one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and what? Pondered. Another word for meditated. Meditated them in her heart. Sometimes when God tells you something, it's just for you. You don't have to tell everybody. Maybe you do like Mary and just meditate upon it. I'm going to wait till this thing comes to pass. Pondered them in her heart. Amen. I'm just going to rush through some of this. David also. Psalms 1:2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. Do you understand? Isaac was sent to a land of famine, but because it was also a place of meditation. It doesn't matter if the enemy kept on taking away the wells he dug. The Bible said he reaped 100-fold in a place of famine. Isn't that amazing? 100-fold. You can be blessed when you are under the care and direction of God. David knew that. He said, in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That goes all the way back to where you saw where Isaac was coming from. He was coming from the well of living waters. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. Amen. You can't curse whom God has blessed. Did you know that? It just won't work. It doesn't matter how much, whatever Ouija or Wuji or whatever occult you think you got. I am never scared of that stuff because you can't do that to me. I'm a child of the King. Amen. It's of none effect. Absolutely none effect. You can come in here or do whatever thing you want to do that's of none effect. Amen. Because you cannot bless. You cannot curse whom God has blessed. It just won't work. The Philistines tried it with Isaac. They tried to take away his water. And he just said, okay, fine, have it. Don't you understand? It's not the land, it's me. It's my faith in God. It's my meditation. So he just kept on digging wells. Amen. Until he came to Rehoboth where he said, God has made room and we shall be fruitful in the land. Sister Brownie. Amen. Balaam, yes. He kept on asking God, can I curse him? Can I curse him? Can I curse? And God made him say, they shall be blessed. Amen. You cannot curse whom God has blessed. You do not have to be fearful of the enemy. If you will meditate upon his word day and night, oh God, it cannot ever come any other way. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It's like that comic book from years ago, Richie Rich, right? Who he couldn't spend enough money. Some of you don't know that comic, but he had to try and spend $1 million so he could get $10 million, but he could never get rid of it. When you have God's favor, you cannot just, nobody can just take it from you. Amen. But it comes when we start to meditate and walk after the Spirit. Amen. He shall be a tree, like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You see, the benefits of getting the word and chewing on them, thinking about God's promises and speaking them out to yourself and to the atmosphere. When David was fighting Goliath, he spoke some words. The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. That's 1 Samuel 17:37. And he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. He spoke some words of faith and declaration. He spoke some words of declaration. It wasn't of fear. It wasn't of well, I don't know. But he said, the Lord has delivered me out of the hand of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. So we've talked about the word of God as the written word, as the spoken word, amen, as the seed planted where we bury it and start to bring it up. And just like Isaac, we start to chew on the word, start to think about some of the scriptures that God has given you. Amen, that you shall be like a tree planted. Think about that, like a tree planted. Start to meditate upon that. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that shall their leaves shall never drop. When you start to think of what God has promised us, amen, that's how we shall live, by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. If you could stand with me. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. It's wherever our mind is. The Bible says we have to be renewed in our thinking, in our mind. See, you may not know it, but meditation is really a weapon. Meditation is a weapon. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we shouldn't fight or war after the flesh. Verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means they can't see them. But they are nevertheless mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, that's the thoughts, and every high thing. Let's say every high thing. That exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Your meditation is a very powerful weapon. Because what you're doing is you're occupying your thoughts on God. That means Satan doesn't have access. Amen. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. All the Bible revelations that I've ever got, it's been when I've been meditating. I've just been thinking about a scripture and what God means, and then he suddenly starts to speak to me and starts to explain things to me. Amen. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not, what? Sin against thee. Hallelujah. So I hope this is part one. Next week, Tuesday, we'll do part two on meditation. But this is such a powerful thing that we do not use. We get the seed and we lay it on the ground instead of burying it and start to think, what can I do with meditation? What can I think about? Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So what are you going to think about tomorrow? You're going to think about your troubles, which you can't do nothing about? Or are you going to think about the goodness of God? The goodness of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. You can just take a few scriptures and meditate upon it. Amen. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. Yea, go on. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Speak that to the atmosphere. Tell Satan he's a liar. I will not fear you. Amen. Because he has promised. I'm going to put them all together. I'm going to make a mash. Put all the scriptures together. He's never leave me nor forsake me. I'm going to mash them all together. They're all the word. Make a smorgasbord. Make a word salad of the scriptures, and you speak it out. Meditate upon it. Amen. Because the Bible says the word is nigh thee, even in your mouth, the word of faith. Hallelujah. So next week, Tuesday, we'll continue part two. But we need to meditate and take this word with us, because that is our only offensive weapon. The Bible speaks about the helmet of salvation, having the shield of faith, having our loins girt about with truth, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's the uniform, but what do we fight with? It says, having the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. Yes, if you have all the armor, you'll be ready to fight, but there's nothing for you to fight with unless you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Anytime God wants anything done, he speaks it. Centurion said to Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. Just say the rhema. Just speak the word. That's all God has to do. That's all you have to ask him today. Lord, speak the word to me. Just like Peter, you're in a storm, you don't know what to do. Tell God tonight, speak the word to me, whatever the word is. Maybe it's go. Maybe God wants you to go and do something. It may be come, but it may be go, it may be stay. But just have him speak the word into your life tonight. Amen. Tomorrow morning, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he will speak that word. And if you will obey it, amen, you will be blessed and meditate upon it. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you tonight for your greatness and your love. Oh God, let this word be planted in our souls. Let it feed us. Oh God, let our spirits be edified tonight. We thank you, hallelujah, for your great and wonderful words. Oh God, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for your covering. We thank you for your blessing. Lord, let your Holy Spirit surround us this week. Let us walk in victory and in faith, believing and standing upon that word. God, we thank you for using us. Oh God, we humble ourselves before you. Let no weapon formed against us prosper. We thank you right now for the word that is casting down imaginations. We thank you for that word that is healing. We thank you for that word that is delivering. And we give you tonight the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering.